Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Talk Show. We're always very proud to talk with people who help other people, and Choice Humanitarian is tools for ending poverty, not only here, but all across the world. Choice Humanitarian is about people with support from donors and partners, and they connect motivated villages to resource and have tools to allow others to change other people's lives, building schools and capacities and leadership of those in far-flung corners of this earth. It's an amazing organization. We wanted to introduce you to folks here and also there, for that matter. We'll be talking with Lee Barker, CEO of Choice Humanitarian. But Mary Lee is a PhD, applied linguistics, I guess it is, of UCLA, and a former professor at Brigham Young University. Mary Lee, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having us on your show.
We should say doctor. Can we call you doctor?
No, Mary Lee is great.
That'll be fine. All right. How did you get involved in this?
You know, I've been involved in this kind of work for a little while, and what really attracted me to Choice Humanitarian is, first of all, you know, you feel your heart is touched by this such a great need in the world, and you want to do something. And Choice has something very concrete to do.
You know, it's amazing that you've there's all kinds of ways you can help other people, but you chose this particular a group. But boy, you talk about its reach internationally. It's amazing. We've been talking about Nepal and all over. So when you first looked at it, what was your initial reaction to it?
What really resonated with me is the principle based on self-reliance that we help people help themselves. So Choice helps people lift themselves out of poverty, see what resources they have at their disposal. These people we're helping are bright, motivated, hardworking. They're really our peers. And we can help them leverage what they have and learn through leadership building, et cetera, to accomplish the projects and the priorities that they have, that they want to accomplish. And that's very appealing to me. And second is the people. The people that I know at Choice, the people we're working with, are passionate, and high integrity is very important to me. So go ahead.
Well, I was going to go to Leah Barker, CEO of Choice Humanitarian. She is the CEO. We're talking to her. Leah, where are you, by the way?
We're headquartered in Salt Lake City.
Okay, and you do work in Nepal, Kenya, Guatemala, Bolivia, Mexico, Peru, Ecuador, all over the world. It is amazing. How do you choose the locations where you take the tools and really power of Choice to all these particular outlying areas? How do you make that choice? There's so many choices, so many places that need what you do and the help that you give.
So I think that there's three things that we look at. One is the political climate. How's the country doing politically? Even though that can change with time, but I think the political climate has told us whether we can move forward faster or if things are going to slow down. Second is, what is the culture of the people? Are the people motivated to want to create change in their lives, or is there a history and a culture of entitlement? We want to focus on motivated villagers who are ready to create change in their own lives and are ready to do the hard work. It's a lot of work to move yourself out of living on $1.25 a day.
$1.25 a day.
And then the third thing is, just the viability. Do we have any contacts? Do we have a network? Do we have a base, something, a hook that we can grab onto to just expand the program quickly in those countries?
How do you evaluate what is the most immediate need, and how do you meet that need? It would vary from place to place, I would assume. But what are those basic needs?
They evaluate what those. So for us, it's mentoring communities to take a look at what are their most pressing needs, prioritize their most pressing needs, and come up with a plan to address those most pressing needs. But it's an extremely grassroots, bottom-up type of approach where the bottom informs us, but the top has the resources and perhaps a few tools that they don't know or haven't seen before that we can inject into the program and help them create that plan and that path out of poverty, their path. We don't want to rob people from the experience of moving themselves out of poverty. That's the whole point.
Obviously, economic development's a part of that. Health, education, the environment, cultural preservation, and even agriculture. Just the basic ability of helping people help themselves is really a key, is it not?
Well, I think what becomes really important is that once people have coped with poverty, let's say they have access to clean water, access to health care, access to education, they have time on their hands. And at that point, they start thinking about, how can I make money? They're like you and me. They want to be able to provide for their children. And so economic development is the exit strategy. That's the end game. Because at the end of the day, that's what they'll continue to do and be able to provide for their families and achieve full self-reliance.
Leah Barker is my guest, CEO of Choice Humanitarian. Chris Monson's in our studios. He's a civic leader and a longtime partner of our show. And if you don't know Chris Monson, you don't know really much about Tucson and the tremendous work he's done, not only for this town, but for a great many people all over the world. How'd you get involved with this, Chris?
I got involved really through Mary Lee. And Thomas Jefferson one time said, what works is infinitesimally better than what doesn't. And I see so many failed models around to address the concerns that we all have about people who are far less fortunate than most of us, who are hungry, who are unemployed, who are discouraged. And what I was impressed with is they get a multiplier effect out of contributions. I was talking with one of our congresswomen the other day, and I said, the difference in working with a group like Choice and working with Washington, D.C., is if you give Choice a dollar, they turn it into five. If you give Washington, D.C. a dollar, they turn it into 15 cents. And what's more important is that they empower people.
That you owe them.
Yeah. They empower people who have a natural desire to be self-reliant, to be self-reliant. So that's what was very appealing to me.
Leo, talk about Nepal, if you will. An interesting relationship with villages in Nepal and what they need and how you meet that need and how people can help you meet that need. We could have picked Kenya or Guatemala or Bolivia or somewhere else, but talk about Nepal, if you will.
So Nepal has been devastated by the earthquake. We're the epicenter just hit right in the middle of where we work in the Lamjung district and in Gorkha. And it really has been devastating to hear the reports. I mean, we're talking about 500,000 families that don't have a place to live. Monsoon season will be hitting in the next 4 weeks. And so right now the most pressing need is to kind of pause on the long-term sustainability of the program for just a couple of minutes and get tents, blankets, clean water, and just get them ready for the monsoon season. So one of the things that we're doing is because most of the, I mean, there are villages where all of the houses are gone and the schools are gone also. So our goal right now is we have 500 huge tents that are coming from China to Nepal so that we can set up temporary classrooms in the evenings. It could also be shelter for cooking or for sleeping, but to try to get the kids back to school and bring some normalcy to the communities as fast as possible to just do the rebuild process.
What kind of obstacles do you face, either a hindrance or a help from the governments of, well, Nepal, for example, or even Kenya, or Bolivia, for that matter,
yeah.
Peru, Ecuador? That's not always an easy to do, is it?
It depends on the country. For example, Nepal is landlocked between India and China, so trying to ship anything into Nepal logistically is extremely difficult, and it's costly. And so people's first inclination is to kind of want to send stuff, but it's just really difficult to get stuff. It kind of varies by country, different countries. So that's why we want to source everything locally, because if we can buy things locally, we boost their economies. We don't have to transport. Our whole goal is to do everything locally, including native and country staff. There's no need to export leadership into these countries. They have it. We just need to develop it further. And then sourcing all of the material so that moving forward, Bolivia, Kenya, Nepal, Guatemala, they can repair any of the projects that we do together so that they can find the materials locally. So all of that is planned really carefully so that it has long-term sustainability built into it.
We're talking with Mary Lee, who is a Tucsonan, who's involved in the Choice Humanitarian, and, of course, Leah Barker, CEO of this organization out of Salt Lake City. This group's been around for a while. This is almost your third decade, isn't it? Over 30 years of reaching out to the corners of the world.
That's correct. That means we're growing up. We've made mistakes. We've learned, and now we're ready to move full force ahead and really tackle this issue of 1.2 billion people living on less than $1.25 a day. That's absurd.
It is absurd. Mary Lee, how do people help? What, if somebody wants to give some money, they're listening to this right now, what do they do? And maybe, Chris, you can add to how can people play a role in this?
Well, we could be very personal. One thing that people could do, we'd love to have them join us on an expedition to one of our countries and participate personally.
That would be fascinating.
Fascinating. It's game-changing, life-changing, really, for both sides, because you learn so much from the villages themselves as well as we help them. So you go to a country, you're there from Saturday to Saturday, you participate in welcoming ceremony, you work shoulder to shoulder with the villagers on a project that they have initiated, and you see, you understand, you get it about how leadership building really changes their lives, how they gain confidence, they gain understanding of how to leverage their resources and move forward. It's all about teaching them the principles through whatever projects they designate.
Chris, you've traveled the world. You've been to Nepal. You've been in the outskirts of Kathmandu and beyond to the rural areas. It is challenging in Nepal, isn't it?
Very much so. But, hitchhiking a little bit on Mary Lee's answer, it's really like purposeful travel. A lot of people want to go to some of these parts in the world, but they want to be more than a tourist. So this is an opportunity to have a family trip, for example, where it can absolutely alter our perspective and our level of gratitude. And so Irene and I are looking at doing these expeditions with our children and with our grandchildren to expose them to the needs around the world, not as a spectator, but to get involved and then to recognize our responsibility that we've been given a great deal, we need to give back.
If one wants to support this incredible organization, Choice Humanitarian, and they'd like to give some money, how do they do that? Where do you send the check?
Our website is choicehumanitarian.org. There's information there.
It's a marvelous website, too. There's a lot of answers to any questions we didn't ask here on that website. So congratulations, Leah, on that. There's a tremendous amount of information about where you work and how you work. And Nepal is a special challenge because of the devastation. That has been catastrophic. It's been horrible. No wonder you're thinking about Nepal.
We're thinking of Nepal. We're thinking of Peru also, because our daughter-in-law is from Peru. And these situations exist all over the world. Nepal gets a lot of headlines, deservedly so, because of the horrific devastations that's occurred there. But these things occur close by as well. And so people have different connections to different countries that this group's involved in, and they should select accordingly.
You know, let me ask you, Leah, if I may, when you absolutely put people into these particular places, what would their experience be? If there's somebody out there thinking, well, that might be something our family could do, we have the resources to do it, we have the time to do it, how do you do that? How do you make that happen? And what would the experience be for people who would choose to be a part of this?
So I have done it with both of my children, and I'll tell you that the experience, it just took our relationship to a whole new level as mom and daughter and mom and son, just being able to work side by side and seeing the contrast. I mean, let's face it, you know, my children have what I called affluenza, right? And they have all these symptoms of affluenza that many children in the United States have because we're blessed so greatly here. And so when they see that contrast, it just, and we're able to serve. So we really go on these trips and we think that we're going to save lives, right? We are saving lives. But I think that most people come back, and what we see in their surveys and in their journal entries is, are you kidding me? This was my personal tune-up. I just hit reset. I'm back into the I'm back in the middle where I need to be. With companies, I've seen companies take from the president to the maintenance guy, and they come back and they have renewed energy in their company, employee retention, employee morale. Instead of these incentive trips where companies go and don't even remember 3 days later what happened, I loved what Chris just said, purposeful traveling. That's exactly what these expeditions are about. You're unplugged, you're awake, you're seeing the contrast, you're a little bit triggered, you're out of your comfort zone, and you're serving side by side with people that are so grateful that you're there. I wish I could explain it better, bottle it up, because it would just fly off the shelves, because people come back from these trips just saying, oh my gosh, I wish I would have known it was going to be so fabulous, even though I'm trying to explain how fabulous it is.
Well, if people will go online to www.choicehumanitarian.org, they'll see videos, and they'll see a tremendous amount of information on how you might want to take one of these trips to Bolivia, Guatemala, to Kenya, to Mexico, to Nepal, what you might expect to experience, and how you can touch the lives of those who are part of this world. The world is such a big place, but it's growing smaller, isn't it, Leah?
Yes.
And we are a neighbor's keeper, and the good we do all across this great earth of ours is amazing. I don't think people recognize, the headlines always depict something in the world that we're involved in it, but it's normally a fighter jet, doing some work to fight off ISIS. But in the rest of the world, on those same days that jet's in the air, people are trying to save lives and better the lives of people in their homes, in their villages. What a wonderful thing to get up every morning and have the opportunity to touch the lives of people in so many places of the world. I envy you, Leah, so much. I do.
Thank you.
And Chris, too, for that matter. To meet these people must be an amazing experience.
It truly is. And we're not just changing lives right now, but changing generations as we go forward.
Well, go online and find out more. It's an amazing website. And if you'd like to take a trip, then you can be accommodated. Go with Chris. What the heck? what the heck? I've never traveled with you, but I've always wanted to. It'd be an interesting trip.
You'd enjoy it at least once, John.
I would, probably one time around. Thank you so much, Chris, for everything you do for people. You got involved in this one?
I've been involved for a couple years, and we're really intrigued by it. I'm convinced that the more we give, the more we receive, and this is just a great way of giving and as Leah said, to retuning ourselves and re-anchoring ourselves on what's really most important in life.
Chris, thanks for coming by. We'll talk about this again.
My pleasure.
Keep reminding people of it. Chris Monson is a great civic leader, a great friend in our town. And, of course, Mary Lee, PhD and former professor at Brigham Young, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Mary Lee, thank you very, very much. And, Leah, thank you for talking with us from Salt Lake City. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
All right, great to talk with you. Leah Barker, CEO of Choice Humanitarian, and then Mary Lee, of course, the professor from BYU, and then Chris Monson. Just go online. This is the best way to find out about how you might play a role in this worldwide effort. Choice Humanitarian, Tools for Ending Poverty. And it's a very easy way to find out online all the things that you might be able to do to play a role in this worldwide effort.